All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Why?
Why? 'Cause a Santa Claus is coming to town.
A two, three, four.
Well, he's making a list, checking it twice.
Coming to town, ho, 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 and welcome to another Brilliant Ideas Radio Show. And if everything's working, I think we have Brian the Wine Czar joining us this morning. I'm having technical difficulties already, freaking Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Brilliant. How are you?
Santa Claus needs to bring me a radio station that works, but
I'm doing all right. Santa Claus needs to bring me a new phone because I dropped mine in water this week, and I was dealing with this Mickey Mouse phone all week, and it just doesn't seem to work. So now I'm on my landline. So if I get a bill for long distance, it's going to you.
Yeah, send it to the North Pole, dude. Don't Don't send it here.
I'll send it, yeah.
So, it's a Christmas show. Next time we come back on, Christmas will be over. I didn't realize that till the last second. That's why I added the ho, ho, ho. But welcome, everybody. Most of you are probably out there shopping, doing the do, spending your money, all that stuff to try to make everybody's life merry. I'm going to do this the right way, and I'm going to announce who our guests are going to be on the show right away because I always forget to do it. Okay, if you're downloading on your iPad, iTunes, whatever, you can't see who's going to be a guest, so I'll tell you, George Geary. George Geary will be joining us, and he is the pastry chef extraordinaire. You guys all know George. If you've been on Facebook, you've seen him. He's everywhere. He's from sea to shining sea and all over the world, and he's coming on to talk about, I guess, Christmas pastries and Christmas desserts and what he's been up to since the last time he was on our show. And then we got Chef Troy Black all fired up. I don't know a lot about this guy other than I found out about him just a couple weeks ago and been reading up, and he's a barbecue pit master. He was actually, I believe, he had something to do with Southern Living magazine. I think he was an editor or something, and he's a food personality that I'm actually not even familiar with, but I guess we're going to get familiar with him on the show today. So he'll be joining us after George. And then our musical guest, Katie Moffitt. And Katie Moffitt is actually a Western singer, but you'll see that her music has more of a sultry, jazzy, blues type of sound. And I really like the way she's got some pipes she can sing. So that's our guest. But before we go to the guest segment of our show, of course, we have to do food news, and Mari, the food news Jersey style girl, is not here. She's off shopping.
Yeah, she's out shopping
with the
millions of our fans that are supposed to be listening to the show right now.
Yes, I said, you all laugh. Guess where she was going to with her sister?
Walmart.
Yep. At 10 o'clock, they were going to Walmart.
Okay, so she had to drive somewhere else to go to a freaking Walmart.
Yeah,
and not be
funny.
Here.
Yeah, because her sister is not a Walmart type of person. Now, Laurie wasn't either before she met me. But
we'll talk about that
Susie,
later.
Her sister Susie called her up and said, hey, they got a big sale going on at Walmart. So Laurie's like, all right, I know all about Walmart now. So that's where they were at 10 o'clock today. So I don't think she's calling in. And so she left the duties and the high heels and stilettos to Brian to do the food news. So, Brian, I'll let you pick. There's so many different things going on in the food news. I mean, I've got tons. You got tons. You pick a story. Well, I tell you what. I actually want to pick one first, one of yours. Since I posted it this week about crock pots, do you got that story about crock
pots?
Yeah,
I know. I thought maybe that would be fun to talk about all of the various crock pot things. And I even found one that had vegetarian recipes for crock pots for all of you vegetarians and vegans out there.
they actually cook the product. I thought they like raw vegetables. I didn't know they actually cooked the product.
Well, if you actually used raw vegetables once in a while, you'd realize that they have to be cooked, or it can be eaten in a raw state.
That's a question. Does a true vegan eat veggies out of a can?
I don't know, because I mean they don't know where the can's been, you know.
I wonder that. I'm going to get a vegan on
there. It could have been in the barn with the cow. So.
That's true. You never know. You never know where that juice inside that can came from. All right. So you want to talk about crock pot?
Well, yeah. If I can bring up the right story, how I can use that story.
Just like Laurie, scrolling, can't find the story.
No, here, slow cookers. Okay. Slow cookers. Recipes that you'll never want to live without. Well, I mean, I've seen recipes that I never want to live with. But it's just all about lots of recipes that you can do in your slow cooker. And I know you love your slow cooker. Let's see, number one, French onion soup. Here's one that this probably sounds good for you, but it looks Asian. It looks a little bit challenging for you. Slow cooker honey garlic chicken.
Well, that sounds
How
amazing.
About crock pot carne asada nachos?
I actually had those, and I've seen people post those on Facebook. And let me just say, too, if you didn't see my Facebook post, I did, what did I do? I did a pork roast with all the different veggies. Crock-pots are like magic. You just throw the crap in there, turn on the thing on high, close the lid, and leave. You come back like 5 years later, and voila, there's dinner. But, yeah, I've seen that nacho thing you're talking about. Somebody told me I need to soak my feet in my crock pot. If you turn it on high, you can, it's a great place to soak your feet, but my foot won't fit in this crock pot.
Oh, yes, I saw that comment. Okay, Italian turkey meatballs. I didn't know Italians made turkey meatballs. Okay, here's one for you. Bacon-wrapped beef tenderloin with balsamic glaze.
Oh, now the balsamic glaze, that one, I'm not real fan of balsamic, but whatever.
Yeah, you know what? It is a love it or hate it kind of thing. Some people really love balsamic and others really hate it. I think my wife doesn't really like it. She doesn't like when I put the glazes on. She doesn't like when I use balsamic and dressings. So it really is kind of a love it or hate it thing. But here's a good one for you. Slow cooker maple bacon beer baked beans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese
hey.
In a crock pot.
Yeah, I never thought of that. I guess if you use it from the Kraft box and you have the powdered cheese and you put everything together, I don't know.
Yeah, by the way, I'll mention something about crock pots. We're talking about something that if there's any grillers out there and barbecue guys, they, for whatever reason, they despise crock pots. They get, like, violent when you start talking about crock pots. And I guess when people say they barbecued something in the crock pot, I get that. I understand that that's not really barbecue. But they get, like, really nasty. And you start talking about crock pot, they accuse you of all kinds of crazy things that you did to their mother. I mean, it's just amazing.
Hey,
guys,
you know,
look,
we actually, as much as we hate each other, we actually agree on crock pots. I love the idea of being able to, you know, what was that Ron Popeil expression, set it and forget it?
Yep, exactly.
You know,
$29.99 at Walmart, you can get yourself a crock pot.
You know what? I need to go to Walmart then because I need to get my wife a smaller crock pot. She always complains that she can't use the crock pot that we have because it's so big. We got rid of our small one, and I got a big one. And so I may just actually have to go to Walmart and buy her a crock pot
well,
for Christmas.
See, I was gonna send you that gift certificate for your Christmas present for Walmart, but Laurie wouldn't let me do it because she said you don't go to Walmart. So what did we send you? We sent you a Burger King instead.
I know. I haven't had a chance to use it because Laurie put all this fairy dust in my envelope and it went all over the place. And now I've put the card in the envelope somewhere and I can't find it.
Laurie has this thing about cards. Whenever she sends people cards, birthday cards, Christmas cards, or just cards, she puts those stupid little, oops, she'll get mad at me, but those little things, sequins or whatever you call it.
Glitter or whatever.
Glitter. And then you got to open up her card over the trash can. Otherwise, you'll be picking up those glittery things for like the next 2 weeks because they go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's her thing. She likes to put glitter in the cards, whatever.
Yeah, and when you have a dog that loves to scavenge all over the place. Ah.
Hey, you have like festive-looking little doo-doos around the yard after that, I guess, right?
Well, no, it's not that. It's if they get sick, Lori's going to get the doctor bill.
There you go. All right, where were we? Are we still on?
Okay,
box?
So slow cookers. What did I did mac and cheese, slow cooker. Crispy slow cooker carnitas. I love carnitas. That's the Latin barbecue. Cranberry sauce in a slow cooker. I never thought of that one. Okay, here's another one for you. Crock pot barbecue beef pulled. No, sorry. Crock pot barbecue beer pulled chicken with cheddar corn popovers.
Now that one's going to get all the barbecue guys all worked up. So you just made half of our listeners ticked off when you use that word barbecue.
All right. Well, you know what? You know me. That's what I'm good for. We didn't talk about the fact that I no longer am the wine czar. Since I don't
Excuse
seem
me?
To talk
whoa,
about
whoa, whoa,
wine
whoa,
much
whoa.
Anymore.
What? This is food news. You're no longer the wine czar?
I am now. You see, you don't even read the things that I write.
No, I really don't.
Anymore. I am now going to be referred to as the czar of the dark side.
Oh, that's right. I did read that.
So that's how I shall be addressed from now on and forevermore. And if I talk about wine, that's fine. I'll talk about wine from the dark side. But pissing people off is part of my dark side. So if I pissed off the barbecue people and the grillers, well, you know what? So we lost two more listeners.
Yeah, really. Now we cut it in half. Now instead of four, we have two left. And we'll piss them off too before the show's over. Hey, I'm going to change tunes here because I'm sick of talking about crab pot. Are we going to talk about your dislike for olive oil? Or are you going to use that for another day?
We could use that for another day. From what I gathered, you wanted Lori and I to have that conversation, and it's not a dislike for olive oil at all. I love olive oil.
No, it's a dislike for using it for cooking.
We'll have that conversation another time.
All right,
we
well,
can table
tell you,
it for the new
ready.
Year.
I just be ready. I've done some research, and when we come back in the new year, and you talk about your whatever you were going to talk about, the heat index and the relative humidity of olive oil and all that stuff, I'm just telling you, I did some research. And I did find out something very interesting. You know, when ladies go through their change of life deal, did you know, this is amazing to me, did you know that doctors prescribe olive oil for, well, you know, it's a lubricant.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Just a little. Extra, and I think it's even funny, it's extra virgin olive oil that they recommend to the ladies. But anyway, that's something we'll talk about after the first of the year.
Yes, and I've done my research too, so you bring your ammunition, I'll bring my ammunition.
All right, and I'm going to start taking polls. By the way, after the first of the year, I'm going to start taking, man, I might even start today. No, I'll wait till after the first of the year. I'm going to start taking polls for every shift. And every food person we have on the show, that's going to be one of the questions I ask. Do you cook with olive oil? And let's just see who has the winning votes at the end of I'm going to blow you away on this one.
I cook with olive oil. I just, like, don't cook with certain olive oil, that's all.
Anyway, we'll
table that for a conversation when the three of us are together.
By the way,
I don't know how much further you want to go with this. Here's another one, sweet and spicy crock pot ribs. So I guess that's another one to piss off the barbecue is slow cooker Czech mix. Now, what? I'm going to have to open up the recipe and see this because what could the crock pot possibly have to do with making Czech mix except
well,
to be a vessel to hold it?
No, you do warm it. Haven't you had the Czech mix where you put it in the oven and you warm it up and put the oil in it? Olive oil, by the way. Haven't you done that before?
No.
Oh, man. You gotta get with it in the foodie world.
I know. Look. I've only lived in this dark side for a short period of time. You have to give me a chance.
All
you know?
Right.
It takes a long time for me to get all of these dark side things, you know, in my system.
Well, you
so
can't,
I'm
I mean,
still not
I'm surprised you've never done warm Czech mix, huh?
Oh, wait, here we go. Slow cooker Czech mix. Czech cereal, pretzels, blah, 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 all that crap. Seasoned salt, melted butter, Worcestershire sauce, garlic powder. Add cereal, pretzels, blah, 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 and slow cooker. Separate bowl, whisk together. I guess it is just basically the same idea as what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just warm. I've done it in the oven before.
Yeah.
All right, we're done with crock pots. That's boring.
Yeah, we're done with crock pots.
Let me see. Does anybody?
So, did you have a good story, or do you, or would you like a good, bad, and ugly from me?
Yeah, we got to do. You know what? I got to get that recording too. And that's the first year I want to have the good, the bad, and the ugly recording, so we can do this. But yes, the good, the bad, and the ugly of Dark Side. You say you've been doing some research for Gray and Ideas Radio, and you have one for this week.
Yeah, I certainly do. Well, first let me say that I went and checked out your Wendy's burger this week.
Yeah.
You know, the portobello thing,
yeah.
And that will be part of my good, bad, and ugly.
Well, it's going to be good, I hope.
It's kind of in between good and bad.
Oh, here you go. You're so picky. I swear to God. I mean, it's just like, you can't you just go into a Wendy's and enjoy the burger?
Not necessarily. You know, hey, look, if you want me to be... Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Oh, no, something was weird. I just got, like, beep, blah, 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 bleep. So I don't know what's going on.
By the way,
anyway.
Hey, before you go to the dark side and good, the bad, the ugly and talking about Wendy's, I just got a message from Albert Hernandez, you know, the Untamed Chef.
Yeah.
He thinks you're crazy, by the way. You're not. He isn't using the good stuff, he says, when it comes to olive oil. He's writing me another note, so I have to see what he has to say. I'm telling you, you're going to lose this battle, Brian. You are
Whatever.
Going to lose.
Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, Albert's
everybody
right
can think
he's
I'm crazy, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to cook with olive oil that comes in a 750-liter bottle, you know, that costs $40 a bottle. I'm not going to cook with it. I'm going to use it for flavor. End of. There, I've done it. I've said it. I've said what I had to say. End of subject. End of discussion.
All right, we'll talk about it later, but I have to ask, is it because of cost? Or do you truly believe your BS that it doesn't help the food taste better?
It's quality.
Yeah.
It's quality and the fact that oil of that quality is not going to have any bearing on the taste of your food. Because
I think you're wrong.
You're cooking with it, and anything that oil has of flavor is not going to be imparted in your food with all of the other spices and herbs and whatever else you're cooking, you know, for whatever the dish is. I use tons of different olive oil to cook with. So
You're going to lose it. And by the way, Albert says,
fine.
Rosenthal,
I'll lose. You know, it's not the first time I've lost in my life.
There you go. Rosenthal, I'm giving a plug for him. Rosenthal Olive Ranch Olive Oil, award-winning garlic infused. He says he has a gallon of it. It costs $40. They have lemon infused too. He's writing me all these notes. It's the perfect olive oil.
You're infusing olive oil with something else. You're tasting the something else and not the olive oil.
Oh, here we go. That's my point exactly. All right. I'm just next year when you do this report, just be prepared because you better have some science behind your story. Okay. What else are we going to talk about? Oh, we're back. Are we going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Yes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, I went and I had your
Brian,
burger.
Wait a minute.
Brian, are you
mad at me about the olive oil?
No. No, but I'm going to argue my point.
All right, go ahead. So you had the Wendy's burger.
I had the Wendy's burger.
Yep.
And it was okay. But let me start with my good. Dark Side Good. I don't know if you've ever had, but at least for this week, this was my good. I don't know if you ever had the McDonald's Bacon Clubhouse.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Of course.
That was my good.
I'm like the connoisseur of the McDonald's menu. I pretty much had everything up there.
Okay. That was my good. I think that's a really well-constructed burger. They offer it in chicken as well. And
yeah.
I've tried both at times, the chicken and the beef. And, you know, that McDonald's special sauce, you know, that they have, which is, I think, no more than Thousand Island dressing and mustard. It just, and the bacon and whatever else they put on that burger, doesn't seem to work with the chicken as well as it works with the beef.
What you always say. It's true because the taste is, everybody has a different taste. Now, I prefer that same conglomerate of crap that they put on there on the chicken better than I do the burger.
Okay. Well, fine.
There you go.
I think it's a really well-constructed burger, and it has all the right elements to it. Now, my bad is not really so bad. It's the Wendy's burger. It was okay. My problem with the Wendy's burger is you put the word Portobello in there, and I was like, okay, where's the Portobello? And then I realized there was some little slimy bits in that gloppy sauce that they'd put on it, and like, oh, that's the Portobello. It's just a little bit, you know, so I'm like, okay, why don't you just call it a something burger with Portobello?
No.
Rather than a Portobello melt.
Now, what do you expect them to put a whole big giant slice of Portobello? Those are baby Portobellos on there. So they're being proper in what they're calling it. Now, I agree with you. There's not a whole lot of them, but they're baby Portobellos. So they're telling the truth.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the flavor, but there was way too much salt, and I thought that it needed a fresh element. You know, like a piece of tomato, a piece of lettuce, even a piece of onion, something to counter all of that other heaviness of it. I think it would have been perfect if they just put that on.
You can't expect everything to taste like it came out of a 5-star restaurant. You went through the drive-thru, didn't you? What do you expect?
No,
you
I never go through the drive-thru.
Like dressed in, you know, a butler outfit.
I never go through the drive-thru. And you know what? If you want to say that I have a dark side, I'm entitled to have a dark side and enjoy all this stuff, but I can have constructive criticism.
True, you can, and you always do.
You know what?
Next time you go
to Wendy's, bring a tomato with you. Bring a slice of tomato. Order the burger, and then put the tomato on there and tell me that burger isn't better.
Okay, hurry up. What's your ugly? Show us your ugly.
My ugly goes back to McDonald's.
Okay.
I haven't had a Big Mac in God knows how long, and I just decided I wanted to go cheap. So I ordered the Big Mac meal. You know, it's number one. Give me the number one large, you know?
Right.
And this Big Mac came to me. I opened up the container, and the meat was, like, crumbled all over the place. The bun was, like, falling apart. I immediately brought it back, but it was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen in my life.
You took it back?
Yeah, because it looked like they had made a Big Mac for someone, and then it was a mistake, and it was sitting somewhere, and then they just threw it onto my tray. So it wasn't constructed fresh.
Did they give your money back, or did you get something else?
No, I asked for a freshly made Big Mac, and then it was fine. But,
admit,
it was like,
Big Mac,
okay.
Back in the college days, I grew up on Big Macs. Surprise, surprise. But they were much bigger, and they were much better, and they had, you know, two all-beef patties, special sauce, those cheese, the pickled onions on a sesame seed bun. I mean, that was the slogan back then. They have changed it, and that the burger they have is about a half the size of what it used to be, but that's because of cost and what have you.
What is it, like a 16th of a pound now?
It's that. All right, first of all, I need to give a plug, because you wouldn't believe all the messages I got flying between listening to you complain about fast food and all the messages I'm getting from everybody. Grillmaster Bruce, I will go ahead and plug him. He won't ask if I would give a plug, so here you go, Grillmaster Bruce. Grillmaster Bruce was on our show, 2 weeks ago?
Last week?
3 weeks ago.
He's
trying to start up his little deal, and hopefully it'll be big. His big deal where he comes to your driveway and cooks for you. Go to his website, his Facebook page, Grillmaster Bruce, and you can find out more about what he's doing. And it's actually pretty interesting. He's got a menu. Did you see his menu, Brian?
Yeah, it looked very nice.
Yeah, you can. If you live in his area, you can call him at 810-241-8691, and he'll come to your driveway and grill something for you. Okay, on that note, I've done my duty. I have plugged people. I've listened to your dark side. I've made fun of you about your olive oil. I'm going to take a quick break. We're bringing on our first guest. You guys all know their guest. I mentioned in the opening, he's the pastry chef extraordinaire, George Geary. We're going to play a quick break. Jimmy Charles has a Christmas song that's called I Might Be Broke for Christmas. And, Brian, the way we're going.
Hey, I know. Yeah, and I'm going to switch phones because I can barely hear you on this one. So, unfortunately, you're probably not going to hear me as well, but I'll yell into the phone.
Well, that's
so
actually
I'm going to call back.
Everybody. All right, later.
All right.
We'll be back in a minute with George.
Checked my bankroll and I checked it twice. Do you think I'd been more naughty than nice? But when Christmas comes and I'm feeling down, all I have to do is look around. Well, I might be broke for Christmas, not much under the tree. We're all sitting here together, and love is all we need. Well, I might be broke for Christmas, but if I had to choose, I'd trade all the presents in the world to be spending this Christmas with you. Popcorn garland, warm by the fire, holding on to my one and only desire. Kids all excited for Santa to come. We don't have much, but we still have fun. Well, I might be broke for Christmas, not much under the tree, but we're all sitting here together. Love is all we need. Well, I might be broke for Christmas, but if I had to choose, I'd trade all the presents in the world to be spending this Christmas with you. Making memories. We'll build a snowman out by the street. Spirit glowing in our hearts is off a jet feet. Well, we might be broke for Christmas, but if I had to choose, I'd trade all the presents in the world to be spending this Christmas with you. To be spending this Christmas with you.
I know I'll be broke for Christmas, and welcome back to the show. And our first guest is George Geary. You know him as I call him the pastry chef extraordinaire. Good morning, George. Welcome to the show. George?
George?
George? Well?
Can you hear me?
I hear you. George?
Okay.
Curious George? Well, I see him. His light's on, but nobody's at home. Hey, George, call back. I can't hear you. Something's wrong with your phone. So, Brian, this is, I told you we're having Blog Talk Radio problems again. Figures. Let me try it again. Hold on a second. George. Testing. 1, 2, 3, George. George. Gary. George.
He's baking.
He's baking. George, get out of the office. You're on the radio. I hear something. He's crawling out of the oven. That's so weird. I don't know what the deal is. Well, another great day on Blog Talk Radio and Gray and Ideas Radio. I'm going to see if we can find out where he is. In the meantime, Brian, this is why I have
yes,
you
sir.
On the show, to fill dead air. You got another foodie news story you want to talk about while I go find George?
How about... is what chicken McNuggets are made of according to McDonald's?
Yes, let's hear that.
Okay, it
please,
says.
Please, let's hear something.
You've probably wondered far too often when chowing down on McDonald's chicken nuggets. What are these actually made of? Is there even chicken in here? According to McDonald's, the answer is still yes. As stated in yet another video in the fast food chain's transparency campaign. In the new video, similar to the one on how McRibs are made, and I still want to know where the hell the McRib sandwich is that they advertised
and never
showed up.
I told you what happened on that. As a matter of fact, I did do some research on that behind the scenes. Because I know the people who helped make that for McDonald's. It's exactly what I told you. The cost of pork is so high right now. Even when you take pork trimmings and extrude it into a rib shape, it's very expensive. So we're probably the only ones complaining about it out there. But I think they've posed to costing and supply issues right now, from what I was told.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. There are a lot of videos in this article, and some of the videos, like, when I'm looking at how these things are made, it's like I don't want one, even though it has chicken in it. But anyway, let me finish the story.
All right, so
in the new video, similar to the one on how McRibs are made, host Grant Imahara ventures to Tyson Foods in Tennessee to get the inside scoop. And the article has, you know, pictures of people cutting up chicken and it coming out of a grinder onto a conveyor belt and then getting all mushed up. And, you know, obviously it's chicken, but, you know, it's like it could be chicken lips and chicken feet. And I don't know.
By the way, Brian.
I like my chicken whole.
Brian.
Yeah.
They don't have lips, just so you know.
What? Oh, they don't have lips. Okay,
don't,
well,
don't
chicken
have
beaks.
Okay,
so chicken beaks.
Oh, it's just a leftover. You guys, everybody cracks me up about this. Comminuted meat. I've been in the chicken business, associated chicken business, since 1981, and it's called comminuted meat. And what they do is they take all the leftovers, backs, necks, things that are, you know, trimmings, things that are left over in the processing plant.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it in this big machine, and it drops it in, and it separates all the meat and all the protein out of the actual bones, and then it multiplies it into, you've heard about pink slime, right?
Yeah.
Remember that? Well, it's like pink slime. It comes out looking like a, I don't know how to describe it. It kind of looks like cake frosting. We had George Geary here. We could talk about it, but it looks like kind of like pink cake frosting coming out of this machine, and they put it in these big, giant 2,000-pound bulk bins, and then they ship it to places that actually make it into like little nuggets, and then they fry it up, put the batter on it, fry it up. It is chicken, even though people want to say it's not. It is really chicken.
Well, you know, it's funny, the pink slime thing. It's one of the captions, and I've got to send you this, or I'll post it up on Facebook. It's a Huffington Report. I'll post the link. One of the picture captions, they're actually sort of little movie clips
one of the Thinker Zaps captions is all about pink slime. So.
Okay. Hey, we got.
Yeah.
Okay, I think. We either got our first guest or our second guest. And this always scares me. The number says 111-111-1111. So I have no clue who this is, and this is always scary on live radio. But we've either, I think we probably, I don't know who we have. Let's see.
A mystery guest.
This is why this show is always fun. We never know what's happening. We fly by the seat of our pants every freaking week. Okay. Let's see who this is calling in. It's either guest number one or guest number two. Who is this? This is Great Ideas Radio.
This is George Geary.
George!
Were you
stuck in the oven?
Well, you do recall that my phone number call-in is 111-111.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, now I know.
Yeah, it was last time, too.
Hey, I want the 666666 number.
George, well, we somehow, I don't know where you were, but welcome to the show, and I was getting ready to give up hope on you. The pastry chef extraordinaire is finally here, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. How's everything going?
It's just PTT here.
Oh, we're
here.
Having a ball talking about chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, I kind of got on the last part of that, and it's amazing that they were able to produce those. Do you remember the original commercials on that saying some French chefs created these things?
Yes, they did. That's right. That was way back.
Yeah. I'm sure, thank God for YouTube. It would probably still be there somewhere. But talking about this French chef had created, I think it was a slam on the French chefs myself. I couldn't imagine somebody actually creating that product, but then it sells well for these kids.
They've changed the recipe over the years because people have complained about it. When you first used to get them years ago, it was nothing but the comminuted meat, which is basically chicken mush. I was explaining before we found you.
Right.
And they've actually got more protein in it and more chicken in it than they used to, but it's still chicken. It's classified under USDA FDA regulations as chicken, so there you go.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing?
Effective.
You've been all over the world, all over the country. Do you ever stay home, by the way?
Well, I'm only an hour away from home right now. I'm at the beautiful Hotel Lochner in Palm Desert. It's the historical hotel that it was abandoned almost about 5 years ago, and it was built in 1947, and it's the same designer that did Bob Hope's house that's on the hill that some people have seen over the years when they come into the valley. And it's only got four rooms. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. So I'm out at the hotel.
I actually lived there in Palm Springs for a year. I'm familiar with exactly where you're talking about. I didn't realize, but how long has that been open as a hotel?
4 years. The owners redid it, the new owners. They bought it. It was not even able to be inhabited. It was so bad. It was boarded up on a end of a street, and it was supposed to be a master plan community back in the 40s, and it never kicked off. But every room has a kitchen and a bathroom, and one whole side is glass of each room, and they're only 600 square feet, and it would be a great vacation place.
Well, you're in a nice warm place. We're on the East Coast freezing our what's off, and you're over there in a nice warm place, but good for you. You're taking some time off. I see you're everywhere. So I don't know how long ago it was you were on our show. It's been quite a while, and you've been busy doing all kinds of things. So I want to just have you on, and I'll let you just tell everybody what you've been up to. The guy never stops crying. He's always on the go. He's always doing something. He's on TV. He's on cruises. He's everywhere. So what have you been doing ever since last time you were on the show?
Boy, let's see. A lot. I've been all over the world and back. I keep thinking of what I'm doing next instead of what I have been doing. because if I look backwards, I would just be like crazy thinking of what I just finished. Next month I go to the Middle East. So I'm in Dubai, Egypt, Oman, and Jordan.
Wow.
And I end up in Greece.
What are you doing? So, are you like 007 James Bond? I mean, what are you doing there?
Well, I have a friend that works for the World Bank, and everybody thinks that he works for something spyish. And when I do, I get my passport checked pretty often. They kind of look at everything. But I'm on the MS Rotterdam, and it's one of their cruises through the Suez Canal. So I'm doing that, and then I do it again on the World Cruise 2 months later. So in case I don't see something I wanted, I go back again. But I do food classes on the ships that are themed to the area we're at. So like 3 weeks ago, I came back from Hawaii and brought a ship to San Diego. So I was in the water for 6 days, and I themed everything. And all you do is throw any recipe. You can put pineapple, coconut, and macadamia nuts in there. It's Hawaiian. So that's what I did. So you kind of theme stuff. So, you know, you go to the Middle East, you're going to use some spice. So
now, when we talked on the phone a while back, too, you had something to do with one of those reality shows. Did that reality show happen?
Oh, yeah. I think it's on live right now. It's on ABC, The Taste. And
right.
With Anthony Bourdain, yeah, I do casting for these shows in between my other. It's normally summers when we do casting, and then they film them normally in September for January release. So this one was released early, and I haven't even looked. I know it came on like 2 weeks ago because I started getting a lot of information on it. And it's fascinating to see the people that I cast for the show that got through, because I'm one of their first contacts with food. I get to taste what they made, which is very scary. I could write a book, but I'm not allowed to. And I think in my cooking classes, because I do cooking classes across the country, I'm allowed to talk about it, but nobody can write down what I said, because some of the things I could get in trouble. But I came to the conclusion recently, what is a chef? Because these people would come, and they don't have to be a chef. It would be homemakers. And this one lady, I'm going to change her name and all about her, but the story will be the same. She came, and her name was Mary. And on her card, it said Mary Smith. And I said, oh, hi, Mary. And I looked. She had a chef coat on that said Donna. And I looked at her, and I said, is your name Donna or Mary? And she said, it's Mary. And I said, well, why do you have a chef coat on? She goes, I'm trying to impress you. Did I? And I said, well, no. And I said, well, what makes you a chef? And she said, because I have the coat on. And I got to thinking, if I wore a police outfit, would that make me a policeman? And then what does make a chef? Yeah. So, and we all know people that have never gone to culinary school that are better chefs than anybody, which is fine.
Right.
But does it mean you have to go to a culinary school to be a chef? And people use that word so, so loosely, and they say they're a chef. I have a cooking school in another city. I won't tell you where because I'll get in trouble. But he tells people they have to call him by his name, which they call him Chef George, everybody. And he took a 12-course on knife training, and he calls himself a chef. And I thought, well, what is a chef? So that was a little fascinating thing I went with on Facebook because of this TV show, people thinking they were chefs, and true, you don't have to go to culinary school. So I came up, this is my conclusion. Everyone has their own. Mine is somebody else pays you, not owning your own restaurant. You could still be a chef, but somebody pays you. Well, your customers are paying you in your own restaurant, so there's that. Somebody pays you to cook, and you have a staff that look up to you, that you're mentoring. That's the only way I can come up with being a chef.
About being a chef, because it's pretty cool. I think it's cool when people have letters after their name, and you've got letters after your name that are like, I think it's CCP. It reminds me of like the old, the old Russian USSR. What is CCP?
Yeah. Well, I joke about it. What I tell people as a joke, I say it's certified crazy person. And it really
that's on Grillion's coat.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but honestly, what it is, it's a certified culinary professional, and it was I'm trying to think of what year. It was a certification process of a test that takes about 6 months of studying through the International Association of Culinary Professionals. And I took it probably 15 years ago, and you have to reinstate every other year. And it's more than just knowing food and knowledge and things like that. It's also even community service has to be in there. So when you reinstate every 2 years, you have to have shown that you have done community service. You can't just do all community service or write all cookbooks or things like that. You have to do a lot of other things. So even not being in that organization, you can take the test, and it's done once a year, and then it's proxied by members across the country. And think in the state of California, we have like only 10 of us. So,
oh, really?
But it was a difficult test, I must say, because I was trained pastry pretty much when I took the test. I cooked a little bit, but I didn't have any cookbooks out back then. And I really had to study about food theory and things like that. So it wasn't the easiest test. Plus, when you get older,
I'm going to get some letters. I think it's so cool. I'm going to get letters behind my name. It's going to be Gray and Ideas, BFD. I think that would look really cool. I'll get my cards made that way.
I think that's perfect.
All right. Now, let's talk about last time you were on, too. You were doing a book. And it had to do with Hollywood and things like that. What's the status of that?
Yeah. What happened was how do you put this nicely? Like a movie, it was shelved by the publisher. The publisher pulled the contract.
Really?
And they're allowed to a certain point, and then it reverts back to yourself. The book is completely done. It's ready to go to print. When it happened, it was a shock, kind of like a death. So after working 2 years on this book, it was based on about 70 restaurants around the Los Angeles area, and only about three are still open. So they were all older restaurants, recipes from those restaurants, things like that. So they decided to pull out. They gave me a bunch of different reasons, which I don't believe in any of them, but they have the option. And so I put the whole book in a box, and it's sitting in my office off to the side, so I don't have to look at it right now, because that happened in August. We were in the art stage. We had the art department going and things like that. So we were looking at cover pictures, and we were pretty far in. And what was strange is I went to the art department the week before with everybody from the publishing house. Everything was happy, and they were, like, giving me hugs and saying, oh, I was the best author. And then the next week, there was coldness when I walked in. I thought, okay, something's wrong. What's going on? And they took me into another room and told me that they had pulled the contract. And I was like,
wow.
And you're kind of like in a shock to where I had all of, you see how busy I am, and I had even more work with the new book. And I only had a few locations cancel my appearances. I had some historical appearances and with historical groups. We just switched it to the history of cheesecake or something else. But so my option now is, I own the rights. I can take it to another publishing house, or I can self-publish. And
I'd
put it off to the side now.
You need to take it out of the box and self-publish it. Nowadays, you know, it's so not easy, but you can do so much nowadays with technology and self-publish. It sounds like a really interesting concept. I say go for it. I didn't mean to scratch the scab off an old wound back in August, but I say do it.
Yeah. Thanks. Merry Christmas. I have so much going on to where I just put it off to the side. And, you know, when I get a little calmer in the spring and I'm two steps away from it, I can come back to it. Because just even from August, I have found, plus the book came in double the size. I think that was a problem too. And they were cutting areas that were difficult to cut out of the book. And I realized since then I even have more information, and I thought I can make it even bigger, which you get to a point where the book gets too big. So, but that's where it is, and it will come out one day. And I have some other books on back burners that I'm working with and publishing houses. So I'm not too worried. I have enough work.
So after you go to Dubai and do your 007 work, then what's the point? You know, you and I have talked about you doing a radio show, but you're like impossible to nail down to do much of anything other than because you're always on the go. But what else you got planned for the upcoming year?
Now, this next year, we're going to get that radio show going. I promise.
All right.
You.
Yes. We're
gonna do
definitely.
Something. We are going to because I even have a big file on radio show now of topics and things like that. So we're going to get something going. And then my morning show in San Diego, I used to just be like once in a while on the San Diego station. And now I'm their featured chef, so I'm on there a lot. And during the holidays, we film ahead of time, so it looks like I'm live, and which is good. I film a lot ahead of time, and they show it on the evening news. So I did this one show I really liked. I put together for Thanksgiving week of mess-ups in the kitchen and how to fix them. So I had all. It was hard for me to burn an apple pie and a pumpkin pie. It wasn't easy. And so I had to have burnt food on the set. And it's weird how I know how to make food look great for television, but I don't know how to make it look bad. So I was getting out my torch and torching the edge of this pie to burn it. And I walked in and the news anchor, she looked at it and she says, "Oh, that doesn't look too good." And I go, "Great, that's what I was looking for." So, yeah.
Well, it
so
sounds like you're always on the go, and it's just amazing. I mean, it's just like every time I read stuff on your Facebook, I'm like, "Oh, what country is he in now?" So you are a busy guy, and we do definitely want to get that radio show going next year sometime
when you have
a moment. Hey, I got a question for
goal.
You. You probably mm-hmm. didn't hear the first part of our show. This has been an ongoing discussion for the last couple of weeks. Brian's going to shoot me. All right. Here's the question. Do you use olive oil when you cook?
Oh, interesting. I think I'm allowed to say this story now. It's a quick answer, too.
All right.
I do a lot with canola oil, the canola up in Canada. Yeah, I create recipes for them. And they're on their website, info.org. And I just, every year I've created 8 holiday recipes. And I use olive oil in salad dressings a lot. If I want to get the olive oil flavor, I don't use it for very much.
Thank
if
you.
I will use it. I won't use it like in an olive oil cake, unless the recipe is an olive oil cake. The other day I did a chocolate cake recipe with canola oil because I don't want any olive flavor to mess up the chocolate. So, and the canola oil doesn't have any flavor in that respect. I'll use olive oil mostly for salad dressing. I won't fry in it, but if I do and I do see a recipe and I'm working with something, you add butter so your melting point changes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's about really – I do have olive oil in my kitchen. I take people on food tours. That's the other thing I do, but you know, but I haven't said
today.
And I'll do a Temecula wine tour. Temecula is between San Diego and Los Angeles, inland, kind of close to Palm Springs. And there's a Temecula olive oil company. 2 ladies started. Fascinating. I love artisan stores and stuff, and they do cooking classes and classes all on their olive oils, and they infuse their olive oils with lemons and blood oranges and pomegranates, things that they grow on their farm, and we'll take a class there, and I'll use most of those just for salads, but I think salad dressings is pretty much what I use.
Thanks a lot, George, because I've got this set that I with Brian, and he and I have been having this conversation for the last couple of weeks, and he made a comment on one of our shows that you should not cook with olive oil. Now, Brian, first of all, I think this is a biased opinion because he's working with the canola people, so this is not fair.
No, it's not. He's a chef.
Okay,
he's a certified chef.
Yeah,
he's got the CCP, so it's not.
All right. Now, if we back up, I did a donut book. That was my last book I did year before last or the year before that, I forget. When you have 9 cookbooks, you forget when they were all born. And I see why some people on television, when they have 15 kids, they can't remember the names.
Right.
I didn't fry any donuts in olive oil because you just wouldn't do that. So it's because of the point. So, of course, I use canola. But as a kid, I remember my mom would fry French fries, and she'd use Crisco in the can and melt that down. I thought,
right.
Can you imagine how much saturated fat we have in our bodies? But how much fun those. And you still don't get French fries or anything like that, you know. It's just amazing. Well, it's like the small restaurant that closed this year called Hot Dogs in Chicago. It's a hot dog place. And line out the door, it's just, and 2 days a week, he would do duck fat French fries. And the line was even longer on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I asked him one time, I said, why do you only do it 2 days a week? He said, because my people that work here would kill me. It takes too much energy to do that much duck fat French fries. So,
well, duck fat is the best. Okay, so here we go. Okay, Brian 1, Brilliant 0. Our first chef has given Brian 1 in the win column, and he's actually a CCP on top of that. Thanks a lot, George. So much for that radio show.
I was going to say, does Brian have any pull with this radio thing that we're going to do this year?
Yes, he does.
No, I'm just the lowly sidekick that gets kicked way too much.
Well,
well, George,
you know, but if you are going to fry with oil, not canola, but the olive oil, you need to add a little bit of butter so you change your melting point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
All right.
That's why when you do, you will see some recipes that will say take butter, olive oil, and fry the onions in it. That's they're
right.
Changing the melting point to get it to change so it doesn't burn your onions right away because the olive oil will burn it and the butter will burn it by itself. So you put it together and it changes. So that's the only reason.
All right. I've had enough of you.
Oh, well, thank you.
George, you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you, Mr. Brian.
Thank you, sir, for joining us. And everybody check out George's website. I forgot to mention that, which is www.georgegeary.com. He is the pastry chef extraordinaire, CCP, even though he doesn't use olive oil. And you're always welcome back. And we'll talk about that show sometime in 2015. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll get it going. I promise.
All right, everybody,
and
check out his
holiday.
Website. Thanks. You too. Thanks, George. Take care.
Take care.
All right, everybody, we're going to take another break, and I got to go lick my wounds because now it's 1-0, Brian. Shoot. All right.
Hey,
I'm
you know,
play.
It's I'm not trying to say my way is better than your way. You're making a big deal out of this.
No, it's good radio, too, on top of that. All right, so it's time for another Christmas song. Let's see, Bassett and Haynes. I like this song. Santa's Having a Tailgate, if I can get it to play. We'll be back with our next guest, and I'm telling you guys, you're going to love her music. She's got some really cool music. This will be our last Christmas song, because, you know, I've been listening to Christmas songs for, like, the last month, and I'm tired of them, but I'll do one more, and then we're going
to
listen.
Wait, what happened to Troy Black?
I don't know. We're having all kinds of problems today. But you know what? The show must go on. Anyway, we're going to play Bassett and Haynes. Santa's Having a Tailgate. We'll be right back with somebody. We're going to have a guest. I don't know who it's going to be, but we're going to have a guest here after this song. We'll be right back.
Santa's having a tailgate. He parked his sleigh out on the frozen lake, unhooked the reindeer, brought some ice cold North Pole beer. It's a party fit for a king, kicking off Christmas Eve. The presents might be a day late, 'cause Santa's having a tailgate. Follow the bright star in the sky till you see a string of lights. It leads to the holler where the party is. You can stop under the holly for a little kiss. Look for elves and three wise men and a little drummer boy beating on the skin. Leave your bah humbug at home. We hope the Grinch is a no-show Jones. Santa's having a tailgate. He
party fit for a king. Kicking off Christmas Eve, the presents might be a day late, 'cause Santa's having a tailgate. We'll build a bonfire and find a tree, rock around all night with Brenda Lee. Do shots of moonshine eggnog and put a red nose on the hound dog. Lay cornhole with snowballs and jingle bells on a duck call. We'll all be jolly, 'tis the season, but we won't forget he's the reason. Santa's having a tailgate. He parked his sleigh out on the frozen lake, unhooked the reindeer, brought some ice cold North Pole beer. It's a party fit for a king, kicking off Christmas Eve. The presents might be a day late, 'cause Santa's having a tailgate.
Santa's having a tailgate, and I'm having a mess over here on the radio show today, but the show goes on. Brian, hopefully you're still there, right?
I think I'm here. God only knows.
I know. This is crazy. We got people complaining on Facebook that our shows, they can't hear our show. Callers are trying to call in and can't get in, and I'm getting messages from everybody. But you know what? After 3.5 years, it's the same old every week. We're just, professional is our middle name. All right, I've got a phone here. I have no clue who this is. Another one. So let's just see who the heck we've got. This makes it fun. Hello, this is Green Ideas Radio. I have no clue who this is, and I hope it's our guest.
Brilliant.
Yes.
It's Katie Moffitt.
Yay, Katie!
Hey!
Oh my
God,
we're having all kinds. I literally don't know who's calking. It doesn't give me any numbers, and I'm just guessing and pushing buttons. And
I'm glad you pushed my button. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad I could push your button. Okay, Katie Moffitt. Let me tell you, first of all, right out the gate, I love your music. You can sing, lady.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. You've got, matter of fact, there's a comment here or a quote from the London Daily Express that says, the most searingly beautiful thing you'll ever hear. I have to agree. You have great music.
God.
I'm going to play one of your songs here in a minute, but welcome to the show. And
thank you.
You're known as a Western singer. But
well, not really.
Honestly, I kind of like the jazzy blues sound that you have.
Cool. Yeah, me too. here's the thing. I did one record in the cowboy or Western music world, and it's such a different world than the music world I have kind of swum in for so long. So it's a great genre and a great place, a great group of people. I met you through a gal that I met in the Western scene, Junie Fisher, a wonderful,
right.
Beautiful
yes.
Yeah, we had her
singer.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah,
cool.
She's been on a couple of times. She's a great lady, and that's why I was a little surprised when I was listening to your music. I did hear the one song that had that Western, you know, cowboy horse now, and then I listen to the other music. I'm like, well, she's a little different than Junie.
yeah, it's true. It's true. But I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, I like it. As a matter of fact, let's let everybody hear some of your music. That's the whole point of being on the show. We'll find out a little bit about what you're doing, where you are, and a little bit about your career. But I'm going to play the one that I really like. Now, I'll tell you right off the bat,
yeah,
I'm a gunslinger. So
right,
you know what song I'm referring to now.
I know
Brian's not. He's one of those guys who has his issues with guns. So Brian, you're not. I'll tell you right off now. I'll tell you, Brian, you're not gonna like this song.
or you might really love it. I'll tell
you something
about it.
Oh, you might.
Hey, look.
Yeah.
As a professional musician, which I was for over 25 years, I don't have to like the lyrics, but I can appreciate the artistry.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, right on, and I'll tell you something about it after you hear it too. So.
All right, let's listen to the song.
Might
the
make
song
you like
called,
it more, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a cool song. Never Be Alone Again. It's a great song. This is Katie Moffitt. We'll come back and talk to Katie after the music. Listen to this one, Brian. You'll love it.
She brushes her hair as the long day ends. Slips under the cover, reaching for her new friend. First touch in the morning, the last touch at night. The last thing she sees when she turns out the light. Faithful protector who'll never let her down. The new 38 special that she got downtown. Dirty little secret, as the rules of romance bend, she smiles and knows she'll never be alone again, not again, no. She's spending her weekend at the firing range. Not much of a social life, but not a bad exchange. Shoot the man who hurt you is the instructor's refrain. So she's killing cardboard men with a deadly sense of aim. Six-chamber, four-inch barrel with hollow points inside. This shiny hunk of metal that cuts men down to size. Neath her Armani jacket, she feels the weight across her shoulder. It's radiating heat from her custom host. It's her dirty little secret. As the long road home begins, she smiles and knows she'll never be alone again. Not again, never again. No, 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 never again.
Moffitt, and that is one sexy sounding song about a gun.
Well, thank you.
I like that. That is a cool, cool, cool song. So tell us about
and
Katie
I
Moffitt.
Liked it too.
Oh,
see,
good.
There you go. Even he liked it.
when I wrote that song, it was really just because that's the way this article that I was reading about women and guns That was the story. The story was that these guns that would come into a woman's life for one purpose, which was protection, personal protection, would kind of take over the woman's life entirely.
But you ever see that movie by, I think Jodie Foster was in, where she became a vigilante? That song should have followed that movie. That's what I'm thinking of when I hear that music and the lyrics to that song. So tell us about Katie Moffitt. I think, I don't know a lot about you because I was trying to find a little bit about your bio and stuff, but you actually took a break from singing and now just started back. Is that right?
Well, not exactly. Not really. I've kind of had a lot of other things going on, but I've been doing this for 40 years. So,
wow.
So I just, maybe what you're referring to is I began working on a project called Midnight Radio, which is it's both song and spoken word. And it kind of celebrates women's history and the role of radio in it's kind of it's what it's really about is me moving, me getting on the path to get out of my house because I had to get out there and I was listening to radio and radio
right.
was the big thing for me. I kept hearing about these other places like. These exotic places like Wichita and Phoenix, you know.
Wichita.
Yeah. But it sounded so much more exotic than Fort Worth, which is where I was. So so Midnight Radio is kind of, they're songs about my personal story and also there are a lot of history in song. Mostly celebrating women, and getting, you know, just kind of getting on your own and doing what you want to do, what you really want to do. So maybe that's what you're thinking.
Yeah,
about.
You know, I have to be honest, and because you don't know me, and you never, you have to understand, I do very little prep work.
That's okay.
For a show. And I graze and I look at people's information just probably about 20 minutes before the show. And so I was
kind
of grazing through and I saw that you were, I think you were doing some appearances. And where are you? Are you still in Texas now?
No, I'm in California. I've been in
California.
I've been in various parts of LA County for, God, a long time now, since probably 1980.
Okay,
so,
see how much I know.
Now, hey, where are you?
I'm actually on the East Coast. We're over in Maryland, and Brian is in Virginia. I was over in California for about 12, 13 years and came back to the East Coast last year. So we're over here on the cold side of the country, and we've been doing this show for about 3.5 years now. And it's all
That's
about food.
Great.
Since it's all about food, we'll talk about Katie Moffitt. We'll play another one of your songs here in a second, but what does Katie Moffitt like to do in the kitchen? Are you a baker? Are you outside griller? Do you do anything fancy with food?
Not real fancy, but I really like. I got a couple of recipes I love. Like my favorite foods I can't seem to do myself. Like I love saag paneer, an Indian dish. You know.
Huh.
But I can't. It's too complicated. I can't make that. But what I really love to do is a vegetable root roast. And I'll take like my favorite root vegetables and just toss them all together and cut them up and throw them in a really hot oven and just let her go. And I love that. And that, there's I sent your assistant Caroline, your
right.
Producer. I sent her a recipe for ginger yam soup.
Interesting.
So those are kind of my things right now.
Well, let me ask you, hey, Brian, you ready for this? Do you use olive oil when you cook, Katie?
I was going to ask you about that. I heard that little thing. Yes, I do.
Okay, Brian, does that count? Do I get 1 point now? Brilliant gets one?
You can have as many points as you like. And I still contend that I didn't deny that I don't use olive oil. I use olive oil.
But you use it with butter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
see, I didn't know about that.
That's the change. That's the change of the smoke points of the oil so that neither one will burn your food.
Wow. See, this is very cool. I didn't know that. Because I do
either.
Tend to use all olive oil. So little now, but now, now.
And a lot of people do.
Well, and we burn stuff, I guess, huh?
Yeah,
so,
well, we're going to be talking about it in about 2 weeks. He's going to talk about the flash point and the relative humidity and whatever he's going to do. He's going to be like Newton with his gravity, you know, law of gravity and all that in a couple weeks, telling us why we shouldn't be cooking with olive oil. But anyway.
Okay, so tell me first real quick about Crisco. What happened to Crisco?
Yeah, Brian, you want to attack Crisco?
I don't know. Look, my mother used Crisco too.
Yeah.
Probably all of our mothers used Crisco.
Yeah.
I've never really used
it. I grew up
on it.
Same here. Yeah. It's a miracle we're all alive.
I don't even know what it is.
Nobody
actually
knows what it is.
Neither do I. But it makes damn good fried chicken, I can tell you that.
That's right. That's true.
All right.
Better than olive oil.
I'm going to play one of your songs real quick here. We're running short. Yeah, it does. Better than olive oil. I'll give you that.
Okay,
now this song is, I think this has been recorded by other people. Don't Know Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite songs in the world.
Oh,
but it
I
was written by a gal named Cindy Walker, a Texan.
Okay. It's a great song. Have you heard this song before, You Don't Know Me, Brian?
No.
I bet he has.
No.
I bet you have.
Yeah, he will.
He has.
When he hears it, he'll say, I heard that before. I'm going to play that real quick. We'll come back. It's a pretty long song, and then we're going to chat real quickly and sign off the show here. But I want everybody to hear your music and also check out katiemoffitt.com. There's a link here that you can go to Katie's website and find out more about her. But I want you to hear this song. It's a great, great song. You Don't Know Me. We'll be right back.
You put your hand in mine, and then you say hello, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and any fool could tell. You think you know me well, but you don't know me. Thank you. packed with love for you. Afraid and shy, I let my chance go by. The chance that you might.
Now, Brian, you know, I know you've heard that song.
I do know that song.
Yeah, I thought so. Great song.
Thank you. Everybody
check out katiemoffitt.com. We're running short on time. Katie, I will tell you that Walmart does have big, giant cans of Frisco on sale. You can find it there.
Okay. Thanks.
Keep us posted.
You just have to plug Walmart.
Yes, I do. I always have to. If you have any new music or anything, you're always welcome back. I love the sound. And stick with the blues and the jazz sounds, because I think it sounds cool.
Right on. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
Okay, right, you too.
Thanks for joining us.
See you, Brian.
Have a good holiday.
All right, guys. We're almost out of time. And, Brian, when I see you next time, Christmas will be over. I hope Santa Claus is good to you. And, You do celebrate both, don't you? Hanukkah and Christmas.
I celebrate everything. Anything that's worth celebrating, I'll celebrate. If it means opening up a bottle of wine, I'm there.
Right, cause you're there. Because it's Hanukkah right now, right?
Yeah, Hanukkah's right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're lucky.
A few more days.
You get to do it all. You get to do the menorah, isn't that what it's called, and a Christmas tree, right?
Yeah, and hey, why not celebrate Kwanzaa, too, you know?
Yeah, well, why not? I'm all for it. Like you said, open some wine and celebrate. We're almost out of time. The lady's yelling at me. We got 10 seconds. Have a nice Christmas. Come back and see us next week on the 27th. I guess we'll have, like, a pre-New Year's show. Thank you, Brian, for all your help. And you know what? She wasn't a chef, so I'll deduct that. It's 1-0, Brian, on the olive oil question. Everyone, come back and see us again. Have a nice Christmas, like I said before. We will see you next week, and as long as I can find a freaking song about Christmas, I'll get out of here, and, of course, it doesn't want to work. Hey, Brian, you want to sing like a Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer or something?
No,
you don't want me to sing.
I got it. All right, Santa baby, everyone have a nice one, and we'll see you next week.
Have a great Christmas, everyone.
Santa baby, slip the table under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Baby, an outer space convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas. flowers that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be oh so good if you'll check off my Christmas list. Little fiddle, Santa honey, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. I've been an angel all year since a baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, there's one thing I really do need. It's a deed to a platinum mine, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, and fill my stocking with the duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany's. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Ba-doo, ba-doo, Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing. A ring. I don't mean on a phone.